My name is Cal. I'm pastor, associate pastor here at the church, and just really good to be with you, even on a smoky day like we have today. But God is good all the time. Amen. And we've been going through a series called Cultivate, and it's a series that's focused on the spiritual disciplines that we have or that we should take that will help deepen our faith, cultivate our spiritual lives. And last week, we've been going through a bunch of different ones. Last week, Jeff talked about the spiritual discipline of study. And I loved the word that he used. He called it infuse. Because when you infuse something, he had a picture of tea, you know, water, and then you put the tea in, and it infuses the water. And when we study the Word of God, it infuses our lives. And from there, our lives can be a sweet taste to the world around us. You know, as that scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And people can see that through our lives. This week, we're going to talk about the discipline, this is going to be your favorite, of submission. Ah, yes. Fun time. Submission. Now, the first thing I think of when I think of submission is yield, the sign yield. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes yielding can be really hard. You ever drive and you're having to yield to someone who's maybe you're not quite thrilled with their driving? I hear a few giggles because you know what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Unless you're that driver, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, we have these signs on the roadways because we have to learn to yield at times. So, you know, you're driving up and you see that sign and then you have to look and make sure things are okay so that you can go. Because if you don't, you can get in an accident. Now, you don't just yield just when there's a sign. Sometimes you have to yield. You can yield at all times when you're driving, right? If you're gonna make a turn, you're gonna get into another lane. You always have to check and yield to who's right there in front of you. And so that happens with yielding with driving. I found this little video that I want to show you. Now the quality isn't the best, but it's a great example of why it's important to yield.
Again, this is the USS Montana requesting that you immediately divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Over.
Please divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision.
This is Captain Hancock. You will divert your course. Over.
Negative, Captain. I'm not moving anything. Change your course. Over.
So, this is the USS Montana, the second largest vessel in the North Atlantic Fleet. You will change course 15 degrees north, or I will be forced to take measures to ensure the safety of this ship. Over.
This is a lighthouse, mate. It's your call. Hello?
It doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter how powerful you are. If you're a battleship going against the lighthouse, you're in trouble. You're going for a crash. This is why it's important to know when to submit, when to yield, because at times you need to. So when I say the word submission, though, I'm kind of curious. What do you think of? I want to hear some answers. What do you think of when I give you the word submission? Yield? That was original. That was good. What's that? Giving in, okay? What's that? Giving up control? Over here, I heard something. Wife? Not sure which way you're going with that, but if you're smart, I'll just leave it at that. Someone else said something over here? Choice, that's good. Anybody else? Losing an argument. That's a good one. What's that? Teamwork. Oh, that's a good one too. Now, typically in our society, when people in society hear the word submission, it typically doesn't actually have a positive view. The first thing I think of what I, you know, maybe this is just me, what I think of submission is like jujitsu or mixed martial arts. And in that, you know, there's these two guys are fighting or they're scrapping, and then one guy does a submission hold, whether it's an arm bar or a choke, and the other guy has to submit. It's not a voluntary, hey, this is great. I'm happy with what's going on, so I'll submit. No, it's like, oh, that hurts. I'll submit. And typically, our view in society is very much like that. We don't look at submission as a positive thing. Usually, we think of submission as a forced thing. But there are two types of submissions. There is the compulsory, the forced, but there's also voluntary. And what I want to talk to us most about today is about the voluntary kind of submission. Our world promotes that we deserve our way. So voluntary submission can be a very odd concept for most people. And yet, as I said already, submission is actually very much part of our lives, everyday lives, right? Like we submit, as we talked about driving, we submit towards the driving signs and the rules of the road. We submit often to our doctors and health professionals when they say, this is what you have to do. We will oftentimes submit to that. We submit to the law, right? To keep criminal activity low, we submit to that. We submit at work. Someone said teamwork. And many times that's true too. Like if you have a group of people that are working together, you have to learn to submit and work with each other. Sometimes you have a boss you have to submit to. Sometimes it's like somebody has an idea and you follow that. Maybe safety regulations at work. You have to learn to submit. It's a part of our normal life, but it still doesn't always feel good, especially when someone says you need to submit. That's just like, I don't know if you're anything like me. When someone tells me I have to, just doesn't feel right. I want to buck against that kind of thing sometimes. But the problem is, again, because we live in this society that is all about instant gratification, we're often blinded by the benefits of submission. We tend to be obsessed with control, with having to do things our way and having things done our way. But submission is coming to the realization that we don't have to have our own way, that our happiness is not based upon having our own way. Submission actually leads to freedom from having the stress, to be stressed about having our own way, having to control things. Submission helps us discern what the really important things are. I think sometimes we get so worked up about so many things that really aren't that important. If you're in a marriage, you know what I'm talking about. You two will argue or disagree maybe. we don't argue, we just disagree really intensely. Right? And you'll have these arguments or disagreements, and at some point you have to learn to submit to one another. That's just the way it goes. The problem is sometimes we just think our way is so right or my way is so important. But you know what? Majority of the time, it's not. It's really not. Submission, I really believe this fairly with all my heart. Submission actually, again, in a healthy, proper way, can actually lead to freedom for your soul. Because we get to release those things, such as the have to control, have to be my way, which actually are often bondage in our lives. The key to submission, though, is this. Submission is all about our attitude and perspectives in relationships. Learning to submit to each other's how we get along. Again, thinking about marriage, think about my wife and I. Now, here's a little funny story, but it wasn't so funny at the time. So we were going on a little vacation. Actually, we went to West Edmonton Mall. And you know, if in West Edmonton Mall, they have the hotel there and they have all these theme rooms. And our theme room was a Polynesian room. It was really beautiful. So, and we were, at that time, we were really poor pastors. So we had saved up our money and went there, and it was great. And so we get into the room, and I can't remember how long, but eventually I was, for some reason, I was reading my Bible. And Christy says to me, as I'm reading, she goes, "Well, read to me." Well, can you guess where I happen to be reading? And so I read the scripture, "Wives, submit to your husbands." And then I left it just there. And I looked at her just to get a reaction. And oh boy, did I get a reaction. And funny, I look back, it's so funny because we're so immature, but also we actually got in an argument because she goes, "Well, that's just stupid." And I said, "Oh, you disagree with the Bible." I'm just egging her on. And just, it got bad. And when it goes, just so you guys, when you make your life hard for your wives, it's not going to go well for you. You will reap no benefits whatsoever. And I mean none. So learn to submit in this way. So anyway, we had this argument, and the fact is, though, I should have actually kept reading, because you know what the next verse talks about? It says, "And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And what did Christ do for the church? He gave his life. Submission's all about a proper perspective. It's all about a proper attitude with each other. And it really comes down to learning how to have a mutual submission for each other. The biblical view of submission focuses primarily on the spirit in which we view others, not in hierarchical relationships. Submission teaches us to value the other. It's about giving up of our rights for the good of others. Not the wants of others, but for the good of others. There's a really important verse found in Ephesians 5:21 that talks about our relationship with each other. It says this: "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is good. It is proper. It is loving God to submit to one another. Again, if you have a healthy understanding of what submission really is, it's all about attitude, mutual submission. And it's not about outward compliance. Okay. You know, there's a story of a boy who his mom was they were about to have supper, and the boy had been really rambunctious. And so he was standing up on the chair at the table, and mom was trying to get him to sit down, and he was kind of not doing it. So she eventually got him, saying, "There's going to be consequences, son, if you don't sit down." So the boy, with a grimace on his face, he sits down. She puts the food on the table, and they begin to eat. And he looks at her and says, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." That is not the submission that we're talking about. We're talking about a mutual, voluntary, willing to give of yourself to the others, even sometimes when you don't understand it. And we'll get to that in a minute. Yielding to God, or submission to God, is really the center of what the gospel is all about. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Jesus shattered all the norms by his teaching, not only of his day, but of our day. He shatters the norms. "If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross." That's an instrument of death. "And follow me." How are we going to do that? He undermined the social order of power and self-interest. He taught that the kingdom of God is an upside-down world compared to our world's way. He said it somewhere else. He said, "If you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Jesus also shattered the norms, not only with how he taught, but how he lived his life. Jesus, the incarnation of God, voluntarily lowered himself to show his followers an example of how to live. It was Jesus, the Master, who washed his disciples' feet. It was Jesus, the King of Kings, who sacrificed his life for all humankind. Paul describes it in Philippians 2 like this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus submitted himself and became obedient unto death. To follow Jesus is to walk a path of submission and death to self. Again, it's counterintuitive to how we want to typically live. And maybe this is why really following Jesus, isn't that popular. I want to get to a scripture now. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It's found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. We're going to go through a little story here and talk about how this story speaks about submission. So if you have your Bibles, again, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. I will read it out to you. Here we go. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. But Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let the nets down. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. It's a great story. I love this story. So let's go quickly talk about it. Let's walk through this. So Jesus is teaching a crowd of people. While he's teaching, all of a sudden he's near the water and he sees two boats there and some fishermen, Simon Peter being one of them, they're cleaning their nets. Jesus jumps into one of those and he says to Simon Peter, let's push out a little bit. Now, what we have to understand is Simon Peter had been working all night. And he was cleaning his nets when Jesus asked him to do this. And Peter complies with the request. You got to wonder, what was he thinking at that time, right? He's been working all night, tired, hasn't caught anything. And here's this guy who's been teaching his people, says, and he gets into his boat. He didn't invite him into the boat, didn't ask if he could. Just jumps in his boat, says, oh, let's push out. All right, so he pushes out. And from there, Jesus continues to teach the people. My guess is there was such a large crowd, and they're probably crowding all around him. He needed some space to talk to the bigger group. So that's probably why he got in the boat, moved out a little bit, so he could talk to a wider range of people. It says then, but when Jesus was finished teaching, he tells Simon Peter to let down the nets for a catch. Now, Simon, an experienced fisherman, tells this carpenter teacher, Jesus, that they had worked hard all night and didn't catch anything. You know, he would have been, as we said, he would have been tired, disappointed. You ever worked at something and nothing got accomplished? Right? Have you ever been in that place? Like, you're in a grumpy place. You're not really willing to comply to people's requests typically at that time. That's the place that Peter was at. He's tired. He's grumpy. He's disappointed. He could have said no, you know, it's his boat, his nets. And yet, he chooses to listen to Jesus and submit to the request. He chooses to put himself under Jesus, even though he was the expert in fishing. Jesus' professional expertise was carpentry, and he was also a gifted radical teacher with a large following. But what does he know about fishing? This was Peter's profession. You can even hear it in the words that he speaks when he says this, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." And I can hear a sigh. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." He yields. He submits to Jesus' request. And what happens? They catch a huge amount of fish. So again, picture this. You got all this grumpiness that they've been fishing all night. Nothing. They've caught nothing. Zip. They get back in the boat. The wrong time of day. They push out. This carpenter says, "Oh, put your nets in the water. This carpenter teacher, "Oh, okay." They do, and a huge amount of fish are caught in their nets. It says it was so huge the nets were breaking. It was so huge they were calling their partners, "Guys, get over here. We need help." And it says they filled both boats with fish. Both boats. How does this carpenter know how to do this? You know, Peter was a professional at knowing how to catch fish, but Jesus made the fish. What we see here is Peter's submission leads to a huge gain in his life. Simon Peter is astonished at this point, and he's humbled. And he feels completely unworthy of being in Jesus' presence. And so he says, "Get away from me, Jesus. I don't deserve to be here. I'm a sinful man. I see there's something special about you, and I don't deserve this." He sees his smallness in comparison to the greatness of Jesus. But then we have a beautiful thing. Jesus then calls him, "Peter, you. Come, follow me. You've been fishing for fish for a long time, but I'm going to show you how to fish for people." And then what we see is Simon Peter, it says he leaves everything and follows Jesus. What are some things that we can learn from the story? First of all, sometimes submission doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes submission makes zero sense. Sometimes you may be the expert. Sometimes you go like, "What does this person know? They haven't lived in my shoes." Sometimes we go like, "What does this person know about my life?" It could be all kinds of reasons. And submission sometimes doesn't make sense. And yet, sometimes that's exactly where we need to be. And if we learn to submit, even when it doesn't make sense, again, in a healthy, proper way, you may find incredible benefits. Sometimes we feel like we know better, right? "I'm the expert here. I know what to do. And if I do this and you do this and do this and do this, I'm not going to submit to this guy. My goodness, I've been in this business for 40 years. This guy's only been in it for 5. I'm the expert. He should be listening to me." And yet, for some reason, they put him over me in a position. I can't believe it. Or it could be all numerous different situations like that. And we think, "Hey, I know better." But you know what? Again, that comes from our desire and need to feel like we have to control everything. Sometimes you do know better in one way, but you may not know better in another way. Submission sometimes we have to learn because even though we think we know better, we may not. What else do we learn? We learn that submission can bring huge rewards. You know, again, you follow along with another work situation. Someone else, you submit to them, and all of a sudden you see this incredible gain or great teamwork, and you accomplish this thing, and it goes like, that was good. Ever been a part of a team like that? I think even in sports teams, you have to submit to one another. You have to submit to the coaching in order to get victories, in order to work together, in order to win the Stanley Cup or whatever. Sometimes there can be incredible huge gains if you submit. I've heard of many stories in which, again, going back to sports, where a player, he's super talented, but he's not willing to work with others. And as a team, they fail. But when you learn to submit to the coaching and everybody works together, it's incredible gains you can get. In the same way for us, in different areas of life, if you learn to submit, there can be huge rewards. We also learn that submission can open our eyes. Peter saw things one way, and when he submitted, everything changed. You know, obviously this is Jesus we're talking about, and of course, things change in a great way. But I would say even with each other, if we learn to submit sometimes, incredible things can change, and our eyes can be opened to new possibilities. When we don't submit, it's typically, well, I know what I want, and this is my narrow view of how it has to go, and you never see the beauty that might be around you, the possibilities that might be around you. Another thing we can learn is submission is hard. That was hard for Peter. Again, he was tired, worked hard, all this stuff, and oh my goodness, seriously? I have to submit to this? I have to do more? And then it was hard because how it affected him. It was like, oh, I am so small, like I am so unworthy. Submission can be hard. What else can we learn? Submission is about following. There's a great story in Scripture that talks about a centurion. And he comes, he asks Jesus to heal one of his servants. And Jesus is about to go. And he says, no. You just say the word. I understand how authority works. I'm a man of authority. I get how it works. You say the word. And it'll be done because submission, learning to have submission under you, is how things often get done in that situation. Submission for us, and this can be the same way, for us to submit to God, first of all, obviously, but also learn to submit to each other, helps us to follow in the right direction many times. Finally, submission leads to a new life. Simon Peter's life was changed that day when he submitted. And first of all, to say in the spiritual sense, if you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you, submit your life to Jesus. It will change your life. It may not always be easy. I already said it's going to be hard, but it is the best thing ever. I'd say in the same way as we learn to submit to each other, it's the same thing. We can learn to live new lives. Because again, when we're so stuck in our way and we're having to control things, it can be bondage when you release those things and saying, I don't have to control. I can submit and it's okay. It can actually lead to incredible freedom for your life. Let me just say a few quick things about relationships. Again, going back to that scripture, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, it really goes back to the same thing as the great command. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have to learn to have that equality in relationship, which means we learn to submit to one another. We are called in Scripture to submit to many people. We're called to submit to our spouses. We're called to submit to family, to friends, to bosses, to civil leaders, to spiritual leaders, and on and on. But you have to understand there are limits. So when I say submission, I'm not saying, hey, anybody who's over you, just do what they say. No. You have to learn to discern what is worthy of submission. As an example, when there was when Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin, if you remember that story, they were taken before the Sanhedrin and told, don't you talk about this Jesus anymore. And they said, You want us to obey God or man? Sorry, we're obeying God. We must talk about Jesus. There are times when you have to say, no, I'm not going to submit to your request. You may face consequences. Those guys faced whipping. But they said, we're not going to stop because it is right. Now, the problem with a lot of these issues in these relationships is there's no rules set out of what are the right things and what are the wrong things and how does this all work? You know, like, for instance, in marriages, so, you know, if you have a marriage partner who you feel is abusive or not, you know, or always wants their way, you know, what does that look like in submission? There's no easy answers for some of those things. You know, at work, if you feel like a boss is maybe a little crooked, but you don't have proof and you know, sometimes there's not easy, you're not sure and you have to kind of wade through if you don't know all the answers. You don't have all the facts in front of you. So what I encourage you to do in those situations, pray. Ask God for wisdom. Learn to discern how to, when to submit and when to say, you know, I'm not going to submit and I'm going to face the consequences. The last thing I want to mention is just kind of to apply a little bit more how we submit. Let me read. I read to you earlier about Philippians 2 from 5 on, and it talked about the attitude of Jesus. I want to read just a couple verses before that. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So how can we apply things that we see in the story with Simon Peter and Jesus? First of all, I would say the word listen. First of all, pay attention to what God is speaking to you. Learn to pray through these issues that of knowing these relationships and how to work through those. But also, I would say in relationships with others, listen. Value other people. Submit by actually listening to them. Pay attention to what they're saying. Listening is an incredible act of submission. Another thing, and we see that with Peter, he listened to Jesus. And then the second thing is obey. Peter obeyed what Jesus asked. And I'd say even when it seems out of the ordinary, at times you have to learn to obey. Again, discernment. But at times, for instance, I've known people who have a boss and they go like, well, my boss is doing it all wrong. And it's the owner of the business. It's like, well, they're the boss. But I have all these other great ideas. They should do this. But does the boss want it? No. Well, you have a choice. You either follow what the boss wants or you get fired or you quit or something like that. Like, sometimes you just have to bow your will and obey. Kids with parents, spouses with each other. Sometimes, you know what, you have to kind of obey each other. That may sound harsh or a weird word for it, but again, we're talking about mutual submission to one another. The key to that is attitude is crucial. And the Bible also talks about authorities in our lives, which means civil authorities. Again, I believe there are times when we say no, but there's other issues that we go like, yeah, okay, I may not like it, but I'm going to submit to that. Then we go to the next thing that we see with Peter is he repented. He had little faith and he said, I'm not worthy. For us, when we've lacked faith or maybe not submitted full-heartedly, we need to learn to take inventory of our own heart and our own attitude. Go to God in prayer. Ask for forgiveness from others if you haven't submitted and you need to. Again, one of the biggest reasons why couples have arguments is because someone's not willing to say sorry. Humble yourself. Submit yourself to the process and say, yeah, I was wrong. Or, I said it with a wrong attitude. Or I said it in a mean way or whatever. Learn to submit. Learn to repent of those things. The other thing when it comes to the word repent actually talks about turning 180 degrees. So when you repent, you change how you act. So don't just be a submissive person by words. Change your actions. Peter changed his actions. He went from doing his own thing to leaving everything to follow Jesus. And then that leads to the final word is follow. Follow the example of Jesus. Live a different kind of life. Live free from having to have control. Again, I talk about, the Bible talks about upside down values. And again, so many times we go, well, that doesn't seem fair. I want my rights. And that's not about how the Bible goes about things. That's not how Jesus lived his life. He gave of himself, even though it wasn't fair. As Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The call to submission is a call to a new order of life. One last final thing I want to mention is the example. I have this picture when I think of this is a potter with clay. Now, if you think of that, we are clay in God's hands. The question I have for you and for me today is, what kind of clay are we? Pottery is molded into something beautiful only if the clay submits to the potter's hands. If the clay is too hard, it can't be used. It'll be thrown out. And so I ask us to look at our own hearts. Have we hardened our hearts? Now, clay, when it's hard, some clay anyhow, before too long, if you put water on it, you can get it soft again and moldable again. And when I think of that in the spiritual sense, it's like the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, in our lives to make us moldable. So with clay, when soft, it submits to the potter's hands and can be made into something beautiful and useful. A beautiful piece of pottery. When we submit to God, he makes us into something that's useful and beautiful. And when we submit to one another, we help mold each other as well. So this week, I encourage you to pray and ask God, okay, how do I need to grow in the area of submission? Well, who are the relationships that I need to rethink? Who am I angry with right now? Who do I just like, no, I'm not going to with that person. And it doesn't mean that you have to submit to everything. Again, you submit as to what is right, but you don't just go by your own feelings. God calls us to, because that was the example that Jesus gave us. He submitted himself to God for you and my benefit. Isn't that good news? Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray that you would be glorified. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us everything that we need. And you have shown us the example of what submission really is all about. And so, Lord, help us to submit to you today. We thank you that you're gracious with us. You're patient with us. Lord, if there's any of us who have maybe had other things that have caused us to not submit to you, Lord, I pray that we would ask for forgiveness. We would listen to you. We would obey you. We would repent, ask for forgiveness, and we would drop everything and we'd follow you because you are worthy. We pray this in your name. Amen.